Hello, my name is Jonathan Seatler, and this is The Agenda. The agenda this time is the high street's woes are permanent. Now, I actually wanted to call this the high street is permanently dead, but I realised I'd get picked up by pedants for the expression permanently dead, because obviously dead involves permanence. So instead it's called, my agenda is called the high street's woes are permanent. And so my agenda is that we have to adapt to a permanent change when it comes in particular to bricks and mortar retail. We saw before Christmas huge discounts at Debenhams and New Look and Topshop, up to 75%. And we saw that John Lewis and Next and Primark were seeing sales and profits come under enormous pressure. We saw HMV call in the administrators. And we know that business rates keep rising, that the online giants are expanding, and that the living wage is pushing up costs all the time. And what we've noticed over the past 18 months at least is that nobody is immune to these problems. That we know retailers make up a fifth of the 50 most shorted stocks on the London Stock Exchange, and we know that CVAs, with all the controversy that they bring, are all over the high street like a plague. House of Fraser, Poundworld, Carpet Right, Mothercare, New Look, Homebase, the list goes on and on. And so you would think that a proposition such as the high street woes are permanent would be easy to advance and hard to contradict. But you never guess what I have found. I have found an optimist, not any old optimist either, but an optimist who knows what she is talking about. My guest on the agenda to debate that agenda with me is Belinda Solomon, a partner in the real estate department of Breacher, who acts for all types of real estate clients, but particularly is known as acting for occupiers, and many of her clients are retail occupiers. She's widely described as a no-nonsense, straight-talking lawyer. She's a member of the British Property Federation and has been on the subcommittee which has drafted the model commercial lease, the fourth version of which is about to drop on our desks. She's also been involved in the clear let lease for land securities. I've seen her time after time after time go the extra mile for clients. Now, in fairness, I can say that there are lots of lawyers who go the extra mile for clients, but what's special about her, what's amazing, is that time after time after time, I've also seen her clients go the extra mile for her. And a client consultation with her is not so much a client consultation as a complete love-in. And Belinda is here to argue with me about the high street's woes are permanent. So give me a proposition in one.
In the interest of full disclosure, I should say, I hate shopping. Hate it. I will do it online. I'll do everything online. But I hate physical shopping. That said, I still believe the high street is not dead, and this is just a snapshot of a moment in time. There are many factors at the moment that are driving this. And obviously Brexit doesn't help, and the weak pound doesn't help. And those are behind some of the problems that the retailers have at the moment. But these are short-term issues, and they're partly because a lot of the retailers have not modernised, updated, gone with the times. They haven't had to. They have just been resting on their laurels all these years, and now the online retailers are giving them a run for their money.
Right, so this is, you say, so this is basically just a blip.
I think it is a blip which will result in less shops in the future, but no shops. People still want to go shopping. People still want to go to a physical shop. They want to try things on. They want to feel things, touch things. They want to buy immediately. Apparently, young people even enjoy physical shopping as opposed to online shopping. Generation Z, apparently 78% like actual shopping, and 70% of millennials prefer physical shops.
That's because they're, presumably that's kind of, right. So let's just think of why younger people might like shopping. because they haven't actually got any real money to actually spend in the shops, and so they're just mooching.
They've got more energy.
Yeah, but they're mooching around, killing time, because of course all young people have warehouses full of time. They're mooching around, killing time, looking through shops, but they're not actually spending any money. And then you wonder why the high street's a graveyard.
Well, if you think that £1 of every £5 is spent online, there is still £4 of every £5 spent in a shop. And it might not be all young people spending that money, but they prefer actually going and spending time in the actual physical shop. It's still needed, even for people who have buy online purchases or make online purchases. They go to the shop first before they actually purchase online.
So have you got clients who are optimistic? Have you got retail clients who are optimistic?
Not that many.
Have you got one?
Yes.
Oh, really? What did they say? What's their line?
Well, I think some of the more luxury retailers are fine and are still doing fine. I think the ones who are worried are the ones who haven't changed for a long time and who haven't made any modernisation to their brand or haven't done anything different. There are all these new technologies and ideas coming into play now that make the shops interesting, and people have to keep up with that. But it tells you something when Amazon, the biggest online retailer, is opening physical shops now. It has bought Whole Foods and it's opening its own shops as well. That tells you that the actual shop is not dead. It just needs to be run properly. It just needs to be more interesting.
Right. So, I mean, what I often think about is that let's imagine that history would be completely different and all shopping had been online, right? And that from the dawn of time, the only shopping you ever did was where you saw a photo and you did a few clicks and you got it delivered. And I thought, wouldn't it then be amazing if someone came along and said, look, I've got a most fantastic idea. You'll never believe this idea. But let's have a physical space where people go in and they can actually touch the goods and smell the goods and compare the goods and wander around them in 3D. Wouldn't that be amazing? And the question really is, do you think online is like that type of gimmick? Or do you think that this is a permanent change, as I do?
Well, it is the newer thing, and it is bringing in a wave of people who like convenience as opposed to actually going out and doing things. We always expected to have to go shopping, so we all went shopping. Now we don't have to expect that anymore. But if you do make that effort to go shopping, you want more convenience, you want something more interesting, you want a better mix of shops. So landlords have to work with the retailers too to get the mix right.
Is that happening?
I think it is more and more. And it works better when it is happening. So there's a mixture of leisure and shops of the right types. But it's there's all sorts of other peripheral issues like parking and delivery times and stock and how much they've got of all of those things. So because we're used to convenience and because we're used to immediacy, shops have taken a hit. There is no question. But they need to do things better. There are certain shops that have been successful for years and years and years. John Lewis has been successful for years. It hasn't really changed its brand. It hasn't really changed its offering to anybody. And now it has competitors who are doing things differently. They're offering different things to their customers.
So what's the way to go? How would a retailer twist things to survive?
Well, either they need a USP, like, say, Primark, which seems to be permanently, absolutely flooded with people.
What's their USP?
Well, they're incredibly cheap.
Cheap.
Or you have to offer something different. For example, Zara's offering virtual mirrors.
What's that?
Virtual mirrors.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, I'm assuming it is something you stand in front of and it makes you wear the clothes that you're...
It dresses you.
Exactly.
Right. Clever. Clever.
So they're doing something slightly different to make it slightly more interesting. Like Amazon doesn't have any shop assistants or tools. You just go in with your Amazon phone and when you leave, it charges it all up. You don't need to wait in line for... you just take what you want and leave. And that's something slightly different. And people like that. How long these new gimmicks will last is another question. But people still like to go and see things, to touch things, to try things on. The only shopping I have done in the last 5 years that I can remember thinking I have to go and do this is to try sunglasses on, because I couldn't do that online. But, you know, that generally people do like to try things. People do like to try things on.
So let's talk more about your optimistic client.
Yes. What? They're overseas, I should say, for a start. So they're talking about coming here and opening lots of shops.
So they're talking, right, so that's even more interesting.
Yes.
So that's somebody who's prepared to invest in the British high street.
Right.
From outside.
Right. But they are a luxury high-end retailer, so that's slightly different.
Why though? Why is it so, what's the basic difference between selling at that end of the market? Why should that make the difference?
A lot of the problems with the other end of the market are people have less money because the pound is weaker, imports are more expensive, and therefore the goods have gone up and therefore they're selling less of them. The luxury end of the market, people haven't got the same issues. They'll buy it whatever the cost.
Oh, it's a price elasticity thing.
I think so.
Okay. But that, I mean, if you were to follow that through, you'd say the high street would be populated only by high-end retailers come the future. Is that possible?
People who haven't got the money still need to buy things. They just don't want to buy such expensive things. The people who are going to buy those luxury goods are going to pay that money and have that money anyway.
Right. Okay. So describe to me what the high street of the future looks like.
There'll be less shops. There'll be better shops. There'll be a better mix of shops and leisure. The landlords will hopefully be working with the tenants to try and increase their footfall.
Right, this cooperation of which you speak.
it does happen sometimes.
Does it?
Yes, apparently.
Tell me how the model lease, which is something I know is close to your heart, how does that reflect that?
Well, it reflects it immediately because it is a more balanced document for it as a starting position. So when you send the document out, you don't think we've got to go backwards and forwards six times before we get to the point we know we're going to get to with these amendments. So already it's a document where both parties accept that they will have to make concessions to the other. And there are points in there about working together to, you know, for the interests of the whole shopping centre, for example.
Right.
The shopping centre.
Is this realistic when everybody just wants to make money?
Well, we have got... I'm the only tenant lawyer on the committee. The others have acted for tenants, but mainly act for landlords. And a lot of the landlords are represented and have been represented. In fact, Land Securities are frequently members of that committee. So they really, really want to work in cooperation. It's in everybody's interest for their retailers to do well, because it means that their shopping centres will do well. The footfall will increase. If the shops are good and popular, so will their shopping centres be, and so will people want to come and open up there.
And how does that relate to the lease then?
Well, if... It only relates to the lease if they find a shop in the shopping centre that suits them, and that's the lease that they will get, and they'll know that everybody has a similar lease. But also, it'll be a much more balanced, fair lease to start with.
And how many people are on this committee?
Probably about 10 or 12.
And you're the only person that's exclusively looking after tenants?
Well, I'm not exclusively looking after tenants, but that has been the majority of my work for most of my career.
Right, and you...
I'm the most trouble, according to the rest of them.
Really? What do they accuse you of causing trouble about?
Well, they would like a nice, easy tenant solicitor who would accept all of their landlord's amendments, and I argue them.
Right, for instance, what?
One of my favourite clauses is the one about scaffolding. And the only reason that clause is there is because I've had personal experience with a client of this problem.
Okay, hang on a sec. What does the clause say?
The clause, in most leases, allows the landlord to put scaffolding up around the building.
Right.
So you could have a shop, and the landlord has reserved the right for itself to put scaffolding up outside the building to make alterations or carry out works and repairs on the outside of the building. Now, one of my retailers a few years ago had a terrible experience of this when the landlord put up outside its building adverts for one of its main competitors on the outside of its scaffolding.
Right.
So I now have a clause. We have a clause within the MCL committee which allows scaffolding but has all these requirements and provisos in there that stops the landlord doing that. So there was an attempt last week, in fact, to make an amendment to that, which I resisted very strongly. Unfortunately, I won, which was a more unusual event.
What was the amendment? What was the proposed amendment?
Well, they wanted to put other signs on as well, the right to put contractor signs on and other things.
And you didn't want that?
Didn't want anything other than our signs.
Okay, so... Would you say more cooperation over lease terms might be able to help turn the tide of the high street? I'm not leading you into a trap.
More cooperation on lease terms?
Yeah, because that's your model lease.
That's a cooperative document, you're saying. I think if the personalities of the landlords and the tenants in the first place are such that they would like to cooperate, then that will continue. I think if they are sensible about it, they will realise that it's in everybody's interest that the landlord and tenant do cooperate on things, and that it's in everybody's interest for both the shopping centre to be successful and the individual shops to be successful.
And how much, I mean, in terms of the decline of the high street, we can put many, many reasons for it, but do you think that one of them is the fact that leases, which is what regulates occupation on the high street, have been a battleground? Do you think that could be one of the contributing causes?
It's difficult to say, really, because tenants, I would say, many, many times in my experience, do not read their leases. It's not about the battleground during the lease term. It's at the battleground at the beginning of the lease when you're negotiating it in the first place. I always say that if I'm acting for tenants, it's a damage limitation exercise rather than an exercise to try and make it work for them. Because basically they will just, many of them, behave as they want. And what you've got to do is make sure that the lease is not too onerous and that they're not in breach by behaving as they want.
Right. You see, another thing is about business rates. Isn't this a completely unnecessary pressure on retailers to have these ever-increasing drains in terms of their costs?
Yes, there has been a lot of talk about business rates, not just retailers but all occupiers, and the feeling is that there need to be more concessions made by the government and local authorities in order to get these rates down. And that's just another added overhead for a retailer, which they may or may not be able to pass on to the customers, but if they do, it causes them problems with their customers, like the wheat pound.
Right, but Is there anything in terms of cooperation from a landlord to mitigate the effects of business rates?
There's very little a landlord can do.
How about paying them? How about paying some of them? Some of that burden?
Absolutely, they could do that, but that would just be an adjustment of the rent, wouldn't it? It's just part of the overall commercial deal. So they could say, your rent is half the amount, or we'll give you a longer rent-free period, or it's all part of the same thing. It's just giving them a concession.
And are there many allowances on business rates that can be taken advantage of? I mean, do you have honeymoon periods and things like that?
You have an empty rates period after a tenant has vacated, and there's often a fight about that when you're negotiating the lease terms.
Right.
Void rating relief.
Right, but there's no... business rates holiday for like the first 18 months of any lease, isn't it?
No, absolutely not.
Wouldn't that make a difference?
Absolutely. There's all sorts of things that would make a difference, but that's something that the government needs to look at. And I know there's been a lot of people within the real estate industry that have been calling upon that government to look into those sorts of issues.
But I know you're not Mystic Meg, Belinda. I know that. But if business rates were to be ameliorated, to what extent do you think life would be breathed back into the high street?
Yeah, I think that depends on the overall covenant strength of the individual retailer as to how long they can cope with paying business rates. While they're doing well, I suspect they can deal with that. I know that lots and lots of retailers that you would imagine are successful are struggle to pay their rent, never mind rates, on top of that.
Right, understand. Is online your explanation for the state of the high street?
No.
What is your explanation?
My explanation for the state of the high street is that shops have become complacent.
Oh, that's right.
The market is terrible for everybody and not just shops. I mean, this goes for restaurants, this goes for all sorts of people are having trouble. And you just have to look at, you know, the closure of car plant yesterday and you'll see that it's not just shops that are having a problem. Brexit is leaving everything in limbo. Everything is uncertain. Nobody knows what to do in terms of their business. Foreign money is not being invested over here until they have a clear direction as to what's going to happen. The pound is weak, and so imports are expensive, and people can't afford to buy the imports, which are being passed on by the retailers to their customers.
Have you ever seen the high street in such a depressed state?
No.
As it is? No, never.
Never, never, never. And in fact, when we first started talking about this, it was in far less a depressed state than it is now. But, you know, I'm up for a challenge, and I still think the reasons are the same, whether or not it's 10 companies who've gone bust or two companies. There's a lot of hope out there that once we've got Brexit out of the way, I think people will still want to go shopping.
Do you think shops are inevitable?
Yes.
Why?
Because people still need to see things. People still need to try things on. People still want to touch things. People actually enjoy, not me obviously, but other people enjoy the physical aspect of shopping. They enjoy it. There's as a pastime. People just wander around and look in the windows of shops and see what they can buy, think about things for their home, see it in position. The shops still have a purpose.
Do you see an irony in the fact that you, who is a well-known champion of occupiers, including retail occupiers, don't like shopping?
I think what I do in my personal life is not necessarily that relevant to the high street. I'm trying to keep it going as much as I can, I promise you.
I think you could make more effort.
Well, I do. I make a lot of effort to buy things. I don't have to actually go to the shops to do that.
Well, you'd do. You'd help with the high street if you did.
I know. I realise that. Well, partly. It depends which shops you buy from. But yes, I would.
So where's the if there's no action on the high street, where is the action amongst occupiers? What's going on in the market?
There is action on the high street. £1 out of £5 is spent online, so £4 out of £5 is spent in the shops. It's just at the moment there's been a reorganisation of our shops. The shops that have been resting on their laurels, the shops that are not prepared to change or modernise or have a USP or do anything that would attract the shoppers, they're the ones that are having trouble. Other people are having to update, modernise, do something different and make it more interesting. Plus the landlords are having to organise the shopping centre so that they have a good mix of leisure and restaurants and retail and all different aspects of people's enjoyment and putting it into one place. And hopefully everybody will work together and it will improve.
Do you think change is coming quickly enough?
Quickly enough for what?
Success. Do people realise the imperative of which you speak?
I think there's a problem at the moment that's hanging over us all, and that's Brexit. I don't think anybody is going to make a decision or be successful or get their new shop sorted out until we've got Brexit sorted out.
But this problem with the high street is, well, is
it's just one. It's just, I realise Brexit is just one issue.
It dates from well before Brexit. You know, the word Brexit wasn't used in the press until August 2012.
What dates from before Brexit? Not all
the
this
decline of the decline of the high street dates from before August 2012, does it not?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Really?
No, I think the high street has been very successful. Retail has been very successful up to the last couple of years.
So maybe it is a temporary thing then.
Well, I hope so. Hoping that's the case.
Well, excellent. Okay, well, look, that's actually been a very wide-ranging discussion of the issue about the high street's woes. You're still prepared to say they're not permanent?
I think they will be for some people. I think if people don't pull their socks off and make their shops a better offering for their customers, then, yeah, it will be permanent.
Do you think the next generation will turn around and say, whew, compared to 2019, our shops are fantastic now?
Hopefully.
So I hope so too, actually. Belinda Solomon, thank you very much indeed for debating with me the agenda.